Well, peak oil is simply the peak at which production levels off and then starts to drop down. So it has nothing to do with the total amount of oil that's in the ground. It has to do with flow rates. It has to do with our ability to pump enough gas at prices we're willing to pay in enough quantities to serve our needs.
So what is the current status of oil production and consumption in the world? A lot of literature that I read said that most of the world's oil-producing nations hit peak back in the 1960s and 70s, and we're expected to be in acute shortage by 2020. Is that correct?
Is that, you know, the estimate of when this would actually occur is different. But for the past 4 years or so, global production of conventional oil has been on a plateau. Now, you're right to say that American production peaked in 1970. And that was predicted by a fellow by the name of King Hubert, who worked for Shell Oil, who said, well, about 1970, American production would peak in the lower 48, and that occurred. Now, there are other wells that are out there or fields that are beginning to peak or have peaked. The Cantarell Peak, Cantarell Field in Mexico has peaked and is going down. North Sea is going down, and Prudhoe Bay is going down and in decline. So right now we're trying to play catch up to provide enough oil for us to keep our lifestyle going.
What role does oil supply play on the world's geopolitical stage?
Oh, it's huge. It's definitely huge. You may be familiar that right now there's tensions in the Middle East. Certainly the confrontation with Iran is important. About one-fifth of the oil that flows to the rest of the world goes through the Straits of Hormuz. Iran has threatened to close that if they're attacked by Israel or the United States. So it's a huge, huge factor. And, of course, back in the 1970s, the oil shocks were caused by OPEC saying, well, we don't want to sell oil to the United States anymore. And so it plays a very huge role in geopolitics.
So is underplaying this imminent shortage a necessity to avoid worldwide panic or a strategy on the world's government's part to keep people from boarding them out?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, you have to understand the role that oil plays in modern civilization. It's a crucial, crucial resource. It makes everything else go, really. And so, I was just reading an article right now about the head of the U.S. Geological Survey basically downplaying peak oil. But when she was asked a question about, okay, why are prices so high, she basically dodged it. She didn't answer the question. And so in terms of panic, I don't know if that would cause a panic, but certainly would cause some effects on the economy, I think. We as Americans don't like to be told that, you know, maybe something that we have become accustomed to, may not be there anymore. I mean, Jimmy Carter paid a high price for that back in the late 1970s, and he lost the election to Ronald Reagan.
Now, we in North America are banking on oil from tar sands in Canada to become more self-reliant, whereas experts have already pointed out that more oil would be wasted than is expected to be extracted while carrying out those operations. Why is there this fog of misinformation around this issue?
Well, one thing I think that a lot of people really don't understand the issue, when you're talking about tar sands in Canada, they actually have to cook the sand in order to get the oil out. And, of course, that requires a lot of natural gas. In fact, I was looking at one estimate that 25% of Canadian natural gas goes to actually produce oil from tar sands. And so the price of that oil is going to be very high. And, there's a notion called energy input versus energy output. And there are those people who believe that, you know, we're going to put so much energy into getting those tar sands cooked and the oil out, then we'd actually get out in return. So
In the press release for your event, you say that if the loss of oil does occur, there will be some real problems. What are these real problems?
Well, let's go back to the 1970s. In the 1970s, there was no real cutoff completely of oil from the Middle East. It was only about 5 to 7%. But look what happened here in the United States. We had, several recessions during the 1970s. We had gas, at least the threat of gas rationing. We had people stealing oil. That's the reason why, cars sold today have a little latch inside as opposed to outside to get the oil. And you just had some major, major hardships in terms of the economics of the situation. Now, today, in many respects, we are more dependent on oil than we ever were. I mean, look at our cities, look at our food production, et cetera. Food, for instance, requires about 10 calories of energy for every one calorie it produces. And where is that energy coming from? Oil. And so you can also see that prices would go up. There's some very, very intelligent people who are saying that this past recession that we've been through, the Great Recession, was triggered in part by the rise in oil prices back in 2007. And so you can imagine what may happen. Right now, oil is trading at about $107 a barrel. And if you're looking at European crude, it's $120. What's that going to do for our economy? I mean, there's some real, real fears that we could be heading back into another recession because of the rise in oil prices.
So is there no sustainable solution? Should we cue panic?
I don't think we should panic. I think that we need to be thoughtful. I think that we need to adapt. First of all, not look at this as something that's the end of the world or anything like that. This is not, 2012 apocalypse or anything like that. But I do think we need to adapt, perhaps drive less, and accept that the oil age as we know it, where we had plenty of cheap oil, may be very well coming to an end.
When you talk about the shortage of oil in the world, you have to talk about the alternative energy sources.
Right, absolutely.
Are they enough to sustain us for the next couple of hundred years?
Well, it depends what you're talking about. Several different kind of resources here. Let's take a look at biofuels, for instance.